I'll be reading from Acts 16. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, "Release those men." The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." But Paul said to the officers, "They beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now do they want to get rid of us quietly? No, let them come themselves and escort us out." The officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came to appease them and escorted them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and sisters and encouraged them, and then they left.
Good morning. Glad to see you on this holiday weekend. Hope several of you have a day off tomorrow. Now, some of you don't, we won't rub it in. But for those of you who do, I hope that you enjoy the day and enjoy this weekend. We kicked off our new Bible school curriculum this morning, and many of you were able to join us. And for those of you who joined us, I'm going to be quick and loud and animated. So I know the turkey is supposed to put you to sleep, but I think the ham and the gravy is going to have the same impact. We had breakfast together this morning. So many of you were able to come. Proud that you came. We actually kick off the curriculum this Wednesday night. So we're going to study the curriculum on Wednesday night, reinforce it on Sunday, then a new one on the next Wednesday night. I think Owen Cooper will be teaching our adult class this Wednesday night. And we're going to begin in the next week or two a young adults class. But we're going to start in Genesis and over the next 3 years move through the text, move through the scripture to the book of Revelation. So hope that you'll come and be a part of that. Join as many of our classes as you can. Mike is going to send out some information where there'll be some, you can download some information at home. Mike, am I correct on that? So you can keep up with what we're doing. There's activities for our children, for our young people, and for us to do. And so I want you to be involved and be a part of that. I hope you can join us Wednesday night. We eat at 6, and we begin our devotional right around 7 o'clock and then move into our class period. So if you've not been a part of that, please come and join us. We'd love to have you. I'm going to move into this morning's lesson. Those of you who are Wednesday night, we kind of foreshadowed this lesson a little bit, but how many of us like persecution of any kind, like pain, like persecution, like conflict? Now, I was going to say I don't know that I've met hardly anybody that likes conflict, but since I've come to know Donald Trump a little better, there might be some who like conflict. But most of us are fairly conflict averse, especially when it causes pain, right? When it causes pain, when it causes physical discomfort, emotional discomfort, all of those things. We like to avoid that if we can. And I understand that, and that is a natural rush. But is there a time? Is there a time when we have to undergo persecution, pain, conflict, even harm when we're about God's business? I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. Because what do we see with Paul? And we've been studying, we did a little game, questions, 20 questions game on our devices this morning as part of our kickoff for our curriculum. And I enjoyed that. And there were a couple of questions from Acts that y'all did very well on. I was proud of that knowledge. So you remember, Paul is in prison in Philippi because he had cast the demon out of the young girl who was able to tell the future by the power of the demon. She was a slave and her owners were making money. So when Paul, after many days, and so we might ask the question, why did Paul not cast the demon out immediately? But he didn't. But after many days, he cast the demon out. And her owners are angry because their opportunity to make money has been greatly diminished by her not having this demon. So they accuse Paul and Barnabas of stirring up trouble, of teaching things that it's not appropriate for Romans to follow. There would have been, I'm sure their teaching would have been, he's teaching against the authority of the Pharaoh and the deity of the Pharaoh, all of those things, and has them beaten and thrown into prison. And so Paul and Silas, not Paul, but Paul and Silas, are beaten and thrown into prison. And now, you remember what happens? The earthquake comes, the doors of the jail open, the shackles fall off, the Philippian jailer's going to kill himself. Paul says, don't kill yourself, we're all still here. Instead of killing himself, the jailer and all his family become believers in Jesus. So now it's the next morning, and the magistrates, those who were in charge, probably somewhere between our judges and our city council, our county commission, said, all right, you're freed. We beat you. We put you in jail for the night, and you can go. And then Paul says, I'm not going. Paul is unique. If you read about Paul and put the personality into it, you find out Paul has a lot of personality, quite a bit of sarcasm, and knows how to play the game, okay? He says, I'm not going. Well, what do you mean you're not going? Why are you not going? Because they beat us and imprisoned us without a trial, and we're Roman citizens. It's before the Patriot Act, when it was against the law. And it, hey, being a Roman citizen is huge, okay? People enslave themselves. People pay great sums of money to be citizens of Rome, because there's a difference between being a citizen and just being in the Roman Empire. All right? There are privileges that come with citizenship. But Paul was born in Tarsus, which was a Roman province, and so he was Roman by birth. He had not purchased his citizenship. He was born a citizen of Rome, and the privileges that come with being a citizen of the empire. Especially these are hangovers probably as much as anything from the Republic. What's the difference? The empire, what had happened is the Senate had become less and less powerful, and the emperor had become more and more powerful. But it had come over, it had an elected Senate. All right? And so, you know, you could not be disciplined without a trial, just like in our country, right? Everybody's due process of law, right? To have a trial. You know, they're considered innocent until proven guilty, right? Right? So there were privileges. And so he goes to them and says, they have beaten us and imprisoned us without a trial, and we're Roman citizens. This is not the first time or the only time Paul will use this, his citizenship. But you're talking about now changing the whole attitude of the people, because now they're in trouble. If Paul wants to push this, they're in trouble. I mean, this could be at the least embarrassing, at the most criminal. All right? They could lose their positions or could suffer punishment. This is not a good thing. And so Paul says, you know, if they want us to go, they got to come escort. So in other words, he's going back and they got to come down here and make nice. That'd have been tough, wouldn't it? This would have been tough. In our terms, if they don't want a lawsuit, they'll come down and escort us out themselves. And so they do. And so Paul and Barnabas now are out of prison, and you know, I can imagine these guys probably falling all over themselves to be nice to Paul and Silas. But that's not our lesson this morning. Here's the question. I'm going to be quick, but it doesn't mean, because we're going to be kind of fast, it's because I want you to stay awake. But secondly, because it's important, just because we're quick doesn't mean it's not important. Why didn't Paul say, I'm a citizen, before they beat him and before they put him in prison? That's my question. Why did he wait till after? Why not before? He could have stopped it, is what I'm telling you. He could have stopped it. He could have said, you can try us, but you better not beat us because we're citizens. But he didn't. He quietly accepted the beating and he accepted the imprisonment. Why? I don't know for sure the answer because Luke doesn't tell us in the text. But what happens because of his imprisonment? We have an influential person and his whole family come to faith in Jesus, right? We know that happens. And we don't know how many other people are impacted by this. We don't know how other people in the jail are impacted. That would have been an event you would have never forgotten as another inmate, right? As a jailer, as somebody there. I don't know how the Spirit led Paul because the text doesn't tell us. But I have to believe that Paul did it, accepted the physical beating. Now, I'm talking about he got beat. I'm not talking about just spending the night in jail. And I know jailers are like Rebecca. They can be mean, and you don't want to spend the night in jail. She says, I didn't earn it. Yes, you did deserve that. This woman, I want to tell you something. I'm sitting very nicely at a nice banquet we have for employees, and Rebecca comes by and just hits me. I couldn't believe it. I love to pick it back up. That's what Rebecca does in the juvenile detention. She manages that and works with that, and they do their, best. But it's not. We're not just talking about a night in jail, which would not be fun. I don't care to do that. But we're not talking about just spending a night in jail. We're talking about getting beaten. All right, somebody taking rods and beating you. And then going into jail. And they wouldn't have tried to make that comfortable for them because it's a different time than, now, for sure. But why does Paul do it? Because through that, God was able to do good. Right? God was able to do good. Here's what Paul will say. It is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. That's Paul's attitude. Paul's attitude is one of a servant. Paul's attitude is one that I will suffer or I will endure whatever God you call me to fulfill your purpose and your plan. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? Because I want to do almost anything I can to avoid pain in any way. We just do, right? We just do. You want to avoid pain if you can. And Paul is no different. Except Paul says, but I will endure whatever to bring about your purpose. Now, Paul is only living out the example of the Lord, isn't he? Jesus doesn't want to go to the cross. Let me explain that. Jesus is willing to go to the cross. Why? Why is Jesus willing to go to the cross? There's really two reasons. One, I think, probably is the greatest. It was for our salvation, right? Jesus is willing to go out of obedience to the Father and because of His love for us, in understanding the necessity of suffering Himself for our redemption. Because remember, Jesus is not immune from the pain. That just because Jesus is God does not bring immunity from the pain. Jesus feels the blows of the whips. Jesus feels the emotional pain of being laughed at and questioned and having those thorns pressed on his head and being made fun of. Jesus feels the pain of the nails going into his feet and into his hands. Jesus feels the pain of the cross and the humiliation of being stripped and put on a cross. But Jesus does it, even knowing what's coming and knowing the pain, for us, because of his love for us and because of his honor of the Father. And so if we're going to be like Jesus, being called to do things that are unpleasant, we should understand is a part of following Jesus, right? Now, are we all called to the same things? No. You know, some are called to give our lives, some are not. Right? But the point is, from just a logistic standpoint, Paul could have stopped the beating and the imprisonment. He could have stopped it. But he didn't. And I think it had to be because he knew this is what God wanted, because God was going to use this to make a difference in someone else's life. And we don't know how many lives that circled around and made a difference in, right? Because I always think of the story of Ruth and Naomi. Who knows why Naomi is going through all her pain that her great-great-grandson is going to be king of Israel? She doesn't know, does she? All she knows is she's miserable. But she doesn't know how God is going to use that. So instead of avoiding the pain, Paul was willing to endure it. Jesus says, in his great marketing of the gospel, because Jesus was a great marketer, take up your cross and follow me. I'm being facetious about the marketing. There's no marketing in that, is it? Jesus says, take the cross and follow me. Be willing to bear the cross. With knowing what? That Christ was raised from the dead, right? God had not forsaken him. God was going to bless Jesus, but the suffering he had to go through was a part of his service to God. And so as we live our lives, what's the hardest thing to turn over? I think there's a lot of hard things about being a Christian, difficult things. They're great joys. But the greatest of those is to surrender my will to God's. That's the hardest thing. To turn loose of control and give it to God. The hardest thing is to say, God, you take control. Use me. And give me the strength then to do whatever you've called me to do. Because, and I want to be about God's business, but I want to map that out and I want God to bless it. It's much harder for me, and I bet it is you, to pull back and say, God, you lead me and use me where you can use me. And, I mean, I'm thankful for God's blessings. And I appreciate God's blessings. And I'll just be honest with you, I'd rather be the recipient of God's bounty as to be the servant who has to endure unpleasantries and maybe even danger to be about God's business. I'm just being honest with you. That's just honest. That's my druthers. That's my druthers. But as I study this and I look at Paul, I say, Paul, to bring about God's will and to make a difference in this jailer and his family and probably a whole city of people, he's willing to empty himself. He's willing to turn loose of the protection and authority that he had, and he was willing to suffer for someone else's condition and for God's sake. Just like Jesus was willing to suffer on the cross for our condition and to be pleasing to God. I believe that's what God calls us to. Now, it's going to be different for all of us, right? It's going to be different for all of us. We're coming. I love that song. You know, the song that we sometimes sing, that if it's just a cup of water that I give you, then that's what I want you to do, right? Whatever I put you, whatever I bless you with, that's what I want you to use in my service. That's what I want you to do. Some of those things may seem like great things. Some of them might seem like small things. But wherever God puts us, wherever He's called us, we need to be willing to sacrifice and surrender to the will of God. Because that's what it means for God, for Jesus to be lowered. Right? That He's lowered. And when He's lowered, then what do? Follow where He leads us, right? Follow where He sends us. That we're about His business. So the lesson is this. Paul could have stopped the beating and the imprisonment, but he didn't. Because I firmly believe he saw this is an opportunity. This is a way God is going to use me. And so each of us should be willing to face, to endure, to go through, to be about whatever God calls us to be about His business. To be about His business. And some of those things are not pleasant. And maybe as we go on, they become less pleasant. But there are times of pleasantness, right? There are. I think people of God ought to be happy. Why? Why? Let me tell you something. Let me ask you this question as we close. That's right, we're closing. And I ain't seen an eye close. Y'all have been fantastic. Let me ask you this question. If you've had a burden on you, awaiting the results of a test where the diagnosis could be really severe. Well, that's the hardest time for most of us, isn't it? For the period between taking the test and getting the results, man, that I feel for everybody goes, I mean, it's just rough knowing the outcome of that. Or something pressing on us and we're waiting the outcome of something, and then when we get the news that everything is okay, what happens? Man, it's just like burdens are lifted, right? If you could, you'd dance. Because it's just everything, the perspective changes. Well, as Christians, we need to realize that this pressure, this burden, this stress of sin and its ultimate consequence, which is death and hell and punishment, has been lifted. And that our days here are few. And that very soon, we're going to be where everything is great. Everything is perfect. Isn't that amazing? Where everything is perfect. And so how does Paul endure? And how do we endure? Because he's saying, our lives here are like a vapor. We're only here for a little while. But great days are coming. Great days are coming. So we'll endure for a little while to receive the crown. That's what Paul is looking for. And that's how we endure. That's how we sacrifice, is saying, great days are coming. If you think this is the best and the greatest, if that's your perspective, then what are you going to try to do every day? You're going to try to make every day good because you know they're short. And those of us that are getting just a little bit older, you know, I remember my daddy said, whoo, all these people in the obituary are younger than I am. I start looking at the obituaries and they're my age. I start going down the prayer list, people having heart surgeries and strokes. Guess what? I went to school with them. Right? They're my age. You start realizing this thing is short. So if our perspective is not about how great things are going to be and how good God is, it is, I better make the most of every day today because, you know, the good days are kind of dwindling down. And so I avoid conflict. I avoid problems. But I say, look, this is just a little while. Great days are coming. I'm going to be about the King's business. And God, who has never forsaken me, won't forsake me. And I'll be able to endure the troubles and the threats. And God, who is able to deliver me, will deliver me. And just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego does. But if He does not, I'm still going to be about His business. Wasn't that great faith as they faced the fiery furnace? They said, we're not going to bow down because God can deliver us. But if He doesn't, we're still not going to bow down because He's God. Yes, Paul said, I could have kept out of prison. But guess what? It would have changed the whole narrative, wouldn't it? It would have changed the lives of a Philippian jailer and his family. And again, maybe a whole city. So I say, it's not always about avoiding the conflict, the pain, and the danger. It's about trusting God and being about His business every day. Going where God leads us, knowing that God can protect us, and He will. And if He chooses not, then it's His choice, and we'll still be able to be about His business, because what happens? Resurrection day, Jesus is coming to take us home. And that's all that really matters. It's all that really matters is going home. getting to go home. If you need to come, do that while we stand and sing.